9, the 20th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also, go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fair? Well, Cindy touched on our gospel reading nicely this morning, introducing the topic to us. But I think the fall of the year, more than any other time of year, is very much about keeping score. We are at a crossroads, and some of your households are more aware of this than others, between the end of the Major League Baseball season and the beginning of the NFL season. We are in the midst of high school football, golf, cross country, even marching band, and everybody's taking score. There are winners, there are losers. There are points awarded, flags thrown, college ball. And then there are students and teachers and professors in a new season of giving and receiving grades. And as Cindy mentioned before, there's always that question, fair? Unfair? Can I get more points? Why do they get more points? And it seems sometimes like everything is being measured. And sometimes also it seems like we're the ones that don't get much say in how it's measured. Well, this is where our scripture today finds us. And I'd like to talk actually about our Old Testament lesson from Jonah. Because Jonah, I think for most of us, is almost like a children's tale. And I think if all you ever learned about Jonah was from Sunday school, the big event in the book of Jonah was him being swallowed by a big fish and being burped out again. But there's more to that story. It's only four chapters long, it starts out with God calling the prophet. Now, Jonah was apparently a pretty well-known prophet before this story ever started. And Jonah had a fair amount of success. When Jonah said, repent, people repented. It's all good. But he was a local kind of prophet. He preached to Israelites. Israelites listened to him. And then God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh. This is the capital of Assyria. This is foreign territory. These, in Jonah's mind, these are not God's people. Why would they listen to me about our God? Why should I tell them to repent? And what if they do? What if God favors them? Forget that. And so, this is the part of the story you know. Jonah jumps on a ship to go to Tarshish. Now, I think most of us, when we read the Bible too, just read names and sometimes don't take a look at a map. But what Jonah is trying to do is to go to the south of Spain. Do you know your geography? Tarshish is Nineveh is 500 miles this way. Tarshish is at the other end of the world that way, as far as you can sail. Why would somebody who's had lots of success as a prophet say, not this time, God. I'm going the other direction. Well, as we find out, it's pretty much about his ego. He doesn't want God doing good stuff for those people. But of course, we do know the story. This big storm. And the waves are crashing, and the other sailors on the boat are like, is it you? Did you do something? I think we should throw you off ship so that we can sail. You know, how did they guess that? I don't know. Okay, but it makes for a good story. They throw him overboard, and he gets swallowed up. And the fish expels him. And then chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Have you ever had that experience? Well, certainly not being swallowed up by fish, but where you're not following where God wants you to go, and you wonder why things aren't going right with your life, and it's just not stacking up, not adding up, and finally you have that aha moment. And the word of the Lord comes to you a second time. Well, this time, Noah heard it. Probably didn't want to go through that experience. And the text says, so Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And he preached there. It was a big city, 120,000 people. Picture a 500-mile trip to Springfield. Go preach to Springfield. Tell them to change their violent ways. Tell them not to be so evil. So Jonah goes, but he's still got this mindset that God is going to destroy that city. And so he preaches to them, and they repent, but he's still thinking God's going to destroy the city. So he's going to go sit under this tree, this bush, which God created for him miraculously a day or so. He's just waiting for Nineveh to burn. And you know what God does? God makes the tree shrivel up, or the bush. And again, Jonah gets furious. Hey, that was my shade. What'd you do with my shade? I wanted to sit here and watch Nineveh burn. And God said, Nineveh's not going to burn. And are you angry? And Jonah says, yes, I'm angry about this tree. said, look at me, Mom. I just saved it. 120,000 people that have learned the error of their ways and have accepted my grace. They will live. It's an odd book, Jonah. But it's about God's grace, God's mercy, which does not keep score the same way we do. Jonah didn't want to preach to his enemies because he didn't want his enemies to repent. He wanted them to fail. He wanted them to be destroyed. And we get this glimpse, yes, in the Old Testament, as we often get in the Old Testament, of God saying, my justice is for all people. I love you, Israel, but my justice is for all people. Just like this parable that Jesus tells about the workers in the vineyard. The workers who came early in the morning said, it's not fair. But they all received a day's wage. And it wasn't for the workers to say who got what. It was for the owner. One commentator puts it like this. If I jump in the lake and I swim all day long, when I get out of that lake, I'm still going to be just as wet as the person who jumped in 5 minutes before closing time. And that's how God's grace works. Insiders can't claim to have more grace than people who haven't heard the word yet. They just haven't heard the word yet. And by God's grace, the world will hear the word. And the word will be good news for the whole world. Yes, there's unfairness in this world. You know, we ask those questions all the time. And not just about the things I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, not just about sports scores, but we ask the harder questions. When the youth did their shantytown event this summer to raise awareness about poverty housing, and at the end I had a little assessment and a survey, and I asked them, what questions do you still have? A bunch of them wrote, why does God allow people to be homeless? What would your answer be? Why does God allow one person's relatives to develop an illness or to die prematurely and not another? Why does one community lose its manufacturing base and not another? We need to recognize that there's a human element in a lot of our suffering, but we also need to realize that God's grace is bigger than all of our hardships. God's grace is sufficient. What's fair? A wise, really wise teacher that I knew once used to say, you know, I ask my kids a lot, what's fair? And what would be better, fair or equal? And of course, smaller children say equal. It should all be equal. But the wise teacher knows that not everybody needs the same kind of help. By the grace of God, may you receive what you need. As we sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness. And it is the voice of faith that sings, great is thy faithfulness, because morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now, I'm not always a big fan of the King James kind of language, but when we ask the questions of fairness, we also need to be mindful of all that God has done for us. For us. And of course, first and primarily, it is in the giving of his own Son through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. We have all that we need. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.